Okay, welcome everybody to the first meeting of the FOI Working Group. Before we start, just some housekeeping rules. In the delegation re-delegation working group, we used Adobe Connect as well as the phone for our calls, but it's much easier on your chairman if you do use Adobe Connect and use the hand-raising signal in there so that I can see a speaking order of people who want to participate in the discussions in the order that they raise points. So very handy to use both, and so if you're not simultaneously connected on Adobe Connect and the call, please do your best to do so for the future. On the phone, there's always a lot of interference on these international calls, so please remember to mute your phone when you're not using it and unmute. And I think it's star 6 to mute and star 7 to unmute. Is that correct, Christina?
Yes, it's star 6 to mute and star 7 to unmute.
Some of us are lucky enough to have a mute button directly on the phone. Just another little item of housekeeping. In terms of the email that I sent out, sort of explaining the working group methodologies and so on, Martin raised a very good point with me that I'd suggested on that list that if people miss two simultaneous meetings, they might be out of the loop and knowledge. But Martin reminded me that a lot of people do the reading and just because of timing and other things can't participate on the calls. But if we try our best to always foreshadow any decision making on the list so that if there's any problems in terms of an actual decision, people who are not on the call can contribute on the list as well, so we should all bear that in mind. Anyway, on to the meeting proper, and we have an agenda for those who are on Adobe Connect. The agenda's in the top right-hand corner, and we'll start with who is present and apologies. Christina, you've got a list?
Yeah. Okay, so on the call we have Vernita Harrod, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Nigel Roberts, Eberhard Lisse, Keith Davidson, Dottie Sparks de Blanc, Jaap Akkerhaus, Martin Boyle, Susanne Riddell, Becky Burr, Catherine Reynolds, and Christy Spain. And from staff, we have Bart Boswinkel, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernie Turcott. Do we also have Kim? I'm not sure.
Kim is listed on Adobe Connect.
Yeah, that's what I saw. Okay, anyway, we have apologies from Bill Semick.
And Jaap is also on the call, apparently.
Yes, I read his name.
I didn't hear it. Okay,
and Kim is saying he is on the call as well. So.
Okay, did I miss anybody? Okay, I can just note that we are trying to dial out to Ugo Akiri, and he provided us with a number, but we are having trouble getting through, so we'll see.
But I see Ugo Akiri's on the Adobe Connect.
Yeah, I'm trying to get hold of him. Somebody joined?
Yeah, hello, this is Patricio.
Hi, Patricio. Patricio, I think there's an echo when you came online, so if you can mute your phone with star 6, that would be great.
I'll do that.
Thanks.
Okay. We have the list of those present and apologies received, and I'll assume the meeting gets the apologies. Moving on to the election of the Vice Chair, I have nominated Becky Burr, who was the Vice Chair of the Delegations Re-Delegations Working Group.
I'm seconding her.
Excellent. And are there any further nominations for the Vice Chair's position? If not, I'll declare that nominations be closed and Becky be appointed Vice Chair. Thank you, Becky.
Thank you all.
Okay, item three on the
You have my deepest sympathies.
Thank you, Alvin. I'm going to remember that.
Dear. Okay, moving right along. We have the draft work plan that has been circulated to the working group, and I think as a starting document, it's well worth our while looking through this and perhaps at the timeline as well as we get a chance. So I'll hand over to Bernie to walk us through this document, and please feel free to either raise your hands on Adobe Connect or interrupt as we work our way through. Usually easier to deal with matters as they arise rather than holding questions to the last minute and then backtracking through documents. Anyway, over to you, Bernie. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right. For those who are used to this, you know how it's going to work. I'm not going to try and do a monotone reading of what's up on the slides, and hopefully you've managed to read some of it. The background talks about how we got here, and I'm not going to go through that in detail. The objective and the scope of the working group are laid out. The objective of the working group is to develop and propose a framework of interpretation for the delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs. This framework should provide a clear guide to IANA and the ICANN board on interpretation of current policy statements. The scope, based on and taking into account the findings and issues identified by the DRD working group as recorded in its final reports, the working group is tasked to develop interpretations of the policy statements to resolve the issues identified by the DRD working group in a consistent and coherent manner. Any proposal to amend, update, or change the policy statements is outside the scope of the working group. The IANA function contract between the U.S. government and ICANN, including any contract implementation issues or procedures relating to it, are outside the scope of this working group.
Keith? This is Suzanne. I'm sorry, I'm not on Adobe Connect, but could I get in a queue?
Suzanne, your question.
Thank you. It was about the 2.2, the scope.
Right.
I did have a question, and I'm hoping that, you know, you can clarify for me, and I'm asking it as a GAC liaison. As to, since the statement reads, any proposal to amend, update, or change the policy statements is outside the scope of the working group, I am guessing that the GAC may ask whether that means you would not want or would not expect the GAC to possibly revisit the 2005 GAC principles.
Remembering the purpose is to provide color and depth to existing policies, the GAC principles could be amended along the way, but would probably only be able to be endorsed by the CCNSO if it's not actually shifting policy, but more explaining it.
Okay. That is very helpful, because I'm wondering, you know, updating them, if we put the word in quotes, could be through interpretation. But I'm guessing that some GAC of the membership may well think, and we haven't had this discussion yet, but may well feel that portions of the principles could benefit from updating. And so maybe we would consider the updating to be an interpretation that we would contribute to the Framework of Interpretation Working Group. I hope I'm making sense.
I think so. And it could be that the way forward, you know, remembering that this working group is not a policy development group, and
right,
we're clearly not empowered to develop new policy, but one of the possible outcomes from this working group may be for the GAC principles to be revised and the CCNSO endorse the revision of the GAC principles, and therefore by submitting that to the ICANN board, it has the effect of becoming policy without us necessarily having gone through the arduous CCNSO policy development process. So
perfect.
It is definitively a possibility.
Okay.
But I think we do need to constrain ourselves to the idea that we are explaining existing policy and not inventing policy on the fly.
Right.
And certainly that's why the retirement of CCTLDs doesn't fit within this working group's scope, because there is no policy on retirement of CCTLDs,
right.
And therefore that will be a PDP in due course.
Sure. No, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
All right. Carry on, Benny.
Thank you, sir. Before I go on, any other questions at this point?
And I had my hand up.
Oh, sorry. My screen's blinked out.
I have posted something late onto the list which didn't make it earlier this morning. Don't want to go into the details. We can all read it up on the list. I think that this working group is not going to tell the GAC how to write its principles, even if we don't agree with them to some extent, or if we do agree with them. As far as I understand, the objective and the scope of this group is to remain within the instructions. I think we should consider, if we find issues that are of relevance, that we can report them up to wherever it's necessary. But the idea is not to tell the GAC to rewrite its principles, or to tell anybody else to rewrite the principles in the first place. If we identify issues, we will raise them, I would think.
Agree, absolutely. We are not in the business of telling the GAC what to do. But I think I see this more as a collaborative effort. And where we have agreement in the working group, if we can test those principles within our constituencies and find consensus, then it would be quite logical for the GAC to resort to doing, I would think.
Very quiet. Is everyone gone?
No. Benny, are you still with us? It's unlike Benny to be quiet.
I was waiting to see if we were back to it. All right. You wish me to continue, sir?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let us continue. Section 3. If we look at the DRD working group recommendations, basically... they split up in two large categories, the things the FOI can deal with and the other things. So looking at 3.1, we're talking about relevance of policy and procedure statements identified in the DRDWG work. And what we've got here is RFC 1591, of course. How could we get anywhere without RFC 1591? And I think it was the general finding by everyone that RFC 1591 is the basis which everyone is comfortable working with from policy point of view, so a policy reference document. News Memo 1. This is not the case. We've gone over this a great deal. If you're new to the group and have not read the volumes of work of the DRDWG, save them up for sleepless nights. They will fix insomnia, but you should read them. At any rate, so I think it was the general finding that the FOI working group should not include News Memo 1 in its policy and process documents that it considers. Similarly for ICP-1, for all the reasons that are known. The sponsorship agreement decision by the ICANN board in September 2000, the CCNSO DRWG final report has recommended that the CCNSO Council request that the ICANN board officially remove this requirement, given it's not been applied for a number of years. So it's not really for us as an FOI to get into it, but that recommendation from the DRDWG stands as it was. There was the ISO 3166-1 exceptionally reserved list from September 2000 also. Decision has only been used once to approve the .EU decision.
Probably important amends that just slightly. I think the decision has only been used once by ICANN to approve the delegation of the .EU CCTLD. And I think there's an important distinction there because .UK and a couple of others were delegated from the reserve list pre-ICANN.
Yeah, and that's the point. That's the next point. At the time of the delegation, there were several CCTLDs, two letter codes, which were not the standard ISO list.
Yeah. But since we're critiquing the ICANN process, and that's where we have access to records, I think just the amendment has only been used once by ICANN to clarify. Martin has his hand up.
Thanks, Keith. Yes, .UK came into use before ISO 1591, before anybody had actually decided that they were going to use the ISO 3166 list. So I think actually, we made our own decision and nobody applied it. Bearing in mind that we were one of the first group of CCTLDs that were approved, so I'm not quite sure you're right in saying that we had actually already diverged from the list. The list diverged from us.
I really wasn't wanting to assert that in terms of our documentation, just merely apply the principle that ICANN has only once moved from the norm to delegating something from the ISO 3166 reserved list.
Yeah, I'm happy with that as a statement, but not the other one.
Yeah. So the suggestion is to amend 3.1.5.2. This decision has only been used once by ICANN to approve the delegation of the .EU CCTLD. I see Eberhard has his hand up.
Can I just quote from footnote number 9 of our report? It is unclear what rules apply to legacy CCTLDs in brackets where the current delegee was selected prior to ICANN being created, close bracket, which do not have any formalized relationship with ICANN and are not members of the CCNSO. I don't see it in the work plan, but it needs to be. That was one of the things we agreed we couldn't agree on, and we cannot leave it unobserved.
I think that's quite reasonable and sensible, actually, and well spotted, and it definitely should be here that the status of the pre 1591 delegation is unclear. So I think exactly that footnote should be copied in here. Would there be any dissent from that? No? Okay.
Can I have a request? Can that person who is doing the heavy breathing please mute?
It might be you, Al.
Nope.
Okay, thanks about that. Can we move on? I'll assume that silence was agreement that we should add the clause relating to the early CCTLD delegation. Thank you. Carry on, Bernie.
Okay, make sure that footnote gets added in there. Anyways, as we walk our way through, basically make the statements as we did in the DRD, the CCTLD community has no significant outstanding issues related to this policy. It's unclear what the FOI can contribute to this policy statement. The recommendation is that the FOI should exclude ISO 3166-1 exceptionally reserved named decision from its consideration. The next one, 316, no longer allowing individuals as delegees, September 2001, which is not a really clear decision, but there's, again, no significant outstanding issues related to this. It's unclear what the FOI could contribute to this policy statement, which is pretty soft in the way it was done anyways. The recommendation, the FOI should not include longer allowing individuals as delegees decision in the policy process that we're considering. Any questions? Okay, moving right along. Here we go, the GAC principles 2005. The GAC principles do not constitute formal ICANN policy, but provide advice to the ICANN board regarding the delegation and redelegation of CCTLDs. The GAC has stated that it expects the ICANN board to follow GAC advice in its decisions or to formally explain to the GAC why they have not followed this advice. Recommendation, the FOI working group should include the GAC principles 2005 in the policy and process documents it interprets to generate recommendations. Any questions on this one? Okay. Fast track for IDN CCTLDs. IDN CCTLDs are the subject of a CCNSO policy development process, and as such, the FOI working group should not include this in the development of the FOI. Recommendation, the FOI should not include the fast track for IDN CCTLD decision in the policy and process documents it interprets to generate recommendations. Any questions on that? All right, so basically once you wrap all that up, policy and process documentation recommended for interpretation in the FOI are RFC 1591 and the GAC principles 2005. The other ones in section 3192 are recommended to be excluded. Any questions on that?
Did I overlook why we don't discuss RCP1?
I went over it quickly, but basically I said that given all the issues we had with it and that were presented in the DRDW report, we did not want to include it, was the record.
Penny?
But if you want to, I can go through in detail on it.
Penny, it's Nigel.
Yes, Nigel.
Eberhard, the reason we don't include it is that it is not policy.
Yeah, I think we came to the conclusion during DRD working group that it had no status because it had never been tested amongst the community, never met any threshold of support, and never was adopted by the ICANN.
Yeah, but is it being used?
That's a good question, I guess.
Because if it is being used, we have to talk about it. What I don't want is we say it has no status, but it's continuing to be used. I don't have that much time to waste on stuff like that.
It tends not to be used so much anymore, but we could ask Kim that question since he's on the call. But before we go, I might just ask Martin, who's had his hand up for some time, if he has an observation on this point.
No, Keith, it was on an earlier point, so let's finish this one first.
Okay, thank you, Martin. Okay, Kim, do you have any comments about ICP1?
I think what I said during the delegation-redelegation working group is that, you know, I think my view is that the statement is practice of what the IANA staff were doing at the time of the publication, circa 1994. And similarly, ICP1 was a statement of current practice of what you know, IANA was doing circa 1999, I think both those documents have elements that are still relevant today and still reflect current practice, and both those documents have elements that do not reflect current practice. So I don't know if that helps you, but I personally put them into the same bucket in that they both describe current practice at the time, and both of them have elements of them that are no longer applicable.
Then we have to talk about both.
I have some concerns about that position, Eberhard.
If I may, sir?
Yes, Benny.
From a pure policy point of view, the two statements that drove the recommendation to exclude it are, one, ICP-1 in its header, there is no policy modification from RFC 1591. So as such, if we believe the header, then there should be no policy modifications from what is presented in RFC 1591. The second thing it pointed out is that ICP-1 has never been formally accepted. Now, this is not inconsistent with what Kim is saying. If we consider ICP-1 to be process and procedure and it's a published interpretation of the rules by IANA, then that's fine. We don't necessarily need to consider it as a policy document. We just need to understand that IANA has, if you will, its own interpretation at that time of what the current policies were, but it's not a basis from a policy framework that we should work from. I hope that made some sort of sense.
If it's being used or part of it being used currently, we need to identify those parts. We need to discuss those to see whether they are whether ICANN needs guidance on their further use.
I think the question is simply this, then, in that case. ICANN should provide to the working group a statement of those elements of ICP-1 which are different from RFC 1591, which they are currently following in place of RFC 1591, so that we can then interpret them.
Excellent suggestion.
Keith, it's Chris. Can I say something?
Yes, sure.
It is a good suggestion, Nigel, but you won't get an answer to it. And in fact, the current situation is that, unless I've misinterpreted it, the current situation is that ICANN is waiting excitedly, is perhaps too high a word, but is waiting for this working group to come back with its color and depth responses. And I think if you look at our work of the delegation and redelegation working group, we made a clear statement on ICP-1. And so, you know, we either stick with that statement or we expand on that statement, or we change our minds, which we won't. So that's the point, isn't it?
Chris, I agree totally. The point is, what I'm saying is, we cannot interpret something that we know not what we're interpreting.
Well, I agree, and that's why I don't think it's included.
No, we cannot, and we cannot say, we don't know what it is. It's being used, we don't know what it is. ICANN won't talk to us, so we won't talk about it either. That's not going to happen either. If ICANN doesn't answer us, ICANN doesn't answer us. And we have that will be noted.
This is Bernie. May I propose something?
Sure.
If we consider this, as I am proposing, to be an interpretation, first let's be clear. We're talking about the policy basis we will interpret to look at what we should think should be processes and procedures based
on the policy framework that is applicable. What we're saying is that ICP-1 is not in the applicable policy framework to generate our recommendations. It's not that we won't look at it in our recommendations versus what these are. It's just that they're not a policy basis upon which we're going to build our recommendations.
Bernie, I don't give much damn about policy recommendation and things and that. If I can use this ICP-1, we're going to discuss it. If they don't tell us how they're using it, we're going to take note and publish that fact. We cannot say, we do this, we do that, only 1% of the issues will be discussed here. No. I cannot find anything in the final report that we say we are not going to talk about ICP-1. I have the report in front of me, and if as Kim stated, is being used, we have to discuss it.
Okay, Vicky has her hand up, or has had her hand up for some time. Vicky.
Yeah, I just thought that the issue was that ICANN said very clearly when it published ICP-1. That it was not meant to change 1591 policy. So if we're looking at the policy and interpreting that, then I don't know why we would need to, I think ICP-1 isn't policy. And it's a restatement of 1591, which we may or may not like, but I thought that the reason that we weren't dealing with it was because ICANN had affirmatively said it wasn't policy, and it certainly wasn't enacted or adopted in a way that suggested that it constituted policy.
Okay, I think perhaps a way forward might be to note that in our final recommendation we should suggest that the framework of interpretation recommendations replace documents such as ICP-1 that have no status anyway, something along those lines. Eberhard?
I find this difficult to understand. We say it's not policy, it's not framework, it's not this, it's that, but it's being used. If part of it is being used, I want to know which part of it being used, and I would like to know why something is being used which is not policy. Yeah, I don't want to go and be very obstinate about it, but we are going to look at the documents that we have identified. If they are being used, if they're not being used, or they're not relevant in that sense, not the problem. But if they are being used, we have to look at them. And if we ask, I can please tell us which ones are being used, and they don't answer, that we can also duly note. But to say no because they won't answer us, we won't look at it, sorry, I'm not happy with that.
Bart, Keith, can I try this again, please?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, Al. I'm going to try again to explain what we're trying to do by saying that, okay? What we're saying is that as we went through the earlier part of the charter of the working group, is we cannot change existing policy. That's not in the mandate. We can interpret existing policy, but existing policy is existing policy. What we're saying, and what Becky said, taking the stand that ICP-1 is not policy. It doesn't mean we won't look at it. It means we will base our recommendations to develop new interpretations, which could possibly replace ICP-1, on the policies that we have defined. And the core of that is RFC 1591. So it's not a question of whether it's going to be looked at. It's not even a question if it's being used. Of course it's being used because it was presented as an interpretation of the policies. The subject, the whole reason of being of this working group, if you will,
is to go back to the basics. What are the policies? We're saying RFC 1591 and the GAC principles need to be considered. And then we have to make sure that whatever interpretations are good. If we're not happy with them, we can generate brand new interpretations. That's the work of the working group. So please stop saying we won't consider it. That's really not it. But I believe that you would really, really want to not have ICP-1 considered as a policy basis which we cannot change in generating our recommendations.
3.1.9.2 reads policy and process documentation. It's very simple. It's being used, we have to discuss it. And we have to interpret it, and we have to recommend whether it should be continued to be used or whether not.
Sure.
I don't see the issue.
Yeah, I think the issue is quite clearly that, yes, we will discuss it, but no, we don't recognize it as a formal policy statement. So what Bernie's, explaining is that we've drawn a line and said that the GAC principles of 2005 and RFC 1591 are the actual policy statements, and there are a lot of other documents, including ICP-1, that we will consider, but we do not consider them policy documents. And I think we clearly got to that point during the delegation-redelegation working group work, that it was a document that had no status in the eyes of the CCTLD community. And I think that's all that's happening here. So.
No, that's not what it says here. It says here, policy and process documentation, not recommend for interpretation. And it is, if it's not a policy, I don't mind much, is at least process documentation, as Kim has just said. So we should put it up because there is some fraction of the working group very interested in it. We should at least put it not on the first visit, say, no, we're not recommending it for interpretation. So at least we should move it up, and then we call it something else. We can call it process documentation.
I think I feel comfortable the way it is. I think it certainly will be discussed, but we certainly don't consider it a policy document.
Keith, it's Nigel.
Yeah, or a process document for that matter. The fact that IANA does, or sometimes does, is immaterial to our eyes. We are going back to what we believe are the foundations of what we believe to be policies, and we clearly don't believe ICP-1 to be policy. Nigel.
Okay, first of all, Eberhard, I think we're in a violent agreement with you. It's the way we're saying it. And your position appears to us to give ICP-1 an enhanced status it does not deserve.
That may be so, but we need to discuss it. And at the moment it's written, we are not going to discuss it.
I think Bernie has just said we're going to discuss it.
I want it written up in a way that I can understand. I'm a simple gynecologist, that I can understand we are going to discuss it. Otherwise, I will have to formally object to this.
Bernie has just said we're going to discuss it. And in the time-honored tradition, I'm sure we can come up with a form of words that preserves the rather diplomatic and delicate way Bernie has said that, and takes into account your wish that we discuss it.
Excellent.
I think the way forward here is let's review the actual phrase used here and make some amendment to it that's more comfortable. But in principle, I'm supporting Bernie's position that, yes, we will be discussing ICP-1, but we don't consider it policy.
I think I understand Eberhard's concern, and I can adjust the wording so that we're both comfortable.
Yes. Excellent.
Okay. Can we move on? Becky, you still have your hand up? Was there something to...
I failed to take it down, I think.
Okay. Martin, back to your other question.
Yeah, thanks, Keith, and sorry, Chris. I want to take back a bit. It's really a question about the decision that we wouldn't include IDNs. I guess that was probably one of the many calls I missed from the delegation-redelegation working group. I wonder whether for the IDN stuff, there's a whole lot of stuff that is distinctly IDN, but there's also got to be a certain number of decisions that ought, in logic, to share the same basic criteria as delegation and redelegation for the ISO list. Things like, for example, identifying what the local internet community might be. What worries me is that if we just ignore the IDN stuff, we will end up with two sets of interpretations of what the policy is for delegation and redelegation. So could somebody perhaps explain to me what I missed from the earlier discussion that makes what I'm saying irrelevant?
Keith, do you want me to just deal with that quickly, or...
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, please, Chris, and then we have Hugo with a question.
Yeah, I think, Martin, the distinction is, and it could maybe it just needs to be said better, the distinction is that this refers to the fast track, and the fast track itself makes it very clear that when it comes to delegation / redelegation, the normal IANA rules apply. The fast track deals with the period up to the arrival at a request for delegation and deals with a set of rules that are very specific to IDNs in the fast track. But once you get to the point where your string has been shown to be meaningful, et cetera, you then hit a point where you actually apply for the delegation. At that point, the current rules for normal, for all CCTLDs apply. So any interpretation that we do is in respect to delegation and redelegation and doesn't in fact stretch back to what you might have to do pre that for the fast track or for IDNs themselves, because there is a difference, and the difference is that the ASCII CCTLD is currently anyway a prescribed two-letter code, and in respect to the IDNs there needs to be a mechanism for getting to a point where that two-letter, where that IDN CCTLD string is agreed.
Okay, yes, thanks a lot for that, Chris. That I think I can accept. I haven't got the wording immediately in front of me, if we can make sure that is covered. I think what you're saying then makes sense, that we're not going to end up with the sort of thing that was happening to Egypt that they complained bitterly about in Nairobi of being continually pushed and pushed and pushed over what the local internet community were without any sort of proper explanation of what they were looking for.
Yes, I think that's a separate thing. I mean, that comes as part of the concept of what the local internet community is under the heading of a delegation or a redelegation is absolutely 100% within the scope of this working group. What is not within the scope, and it doesn't matter whether it's an IDN or not, what is not in the scope of this working group, and this is just an example, is one of the elements of the fast track, which may well become an element of the IDN policy, which is you have to show that the string is meaningful. That has nothing to do with delegation or delegation.
Okay. I think that clarifies, does it?
Yes, it does. Thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you. Hugo, you have your hand up.
Hugo may be on mute.
star 7 to unmute. Okay, we'll carry on. Hugo, if you are having problems, let us know and or type your question on the chat. Bernie, please proceed.
Thank you, sir. It's great to have all that discussion. I hope everyone keeps it up. It makes these things a lot more interesting from this point. All right, shifting gears here. Hopefully this will be more fun. 3.2, issues identified by the CCNSODRDWG that require interpretation by the FOI. So if we finish going through the list, the second part here are the things that we said this group should do. Terminology surrounding delegations and redelegations. I'm not going to go through the details of why. What drove this one was that CCTLDs always really hated sponsoring organizations that a manager were never talked about it. So we have...
What it means?
Pardon me?
I don't even know what it means. Are we selling soap powder?
Let's not start this again. We know we don't like it. So we will be looking at all the terminology that is relevant while we're at it and try to come up with a consistent and logical lexicon that everyone can agree on, including IANA, so that when things are used, we know exactly what they mean. Is there any question on that one? Thank you. Moving on. So basically, if you look how I've set this up, we talk about the issue, we talk about related topics, we talk about the objectives for this point, and then that sort of produces a mini work plan for each one of those, because as we'll see later, we're talking about not saving it all up for one bulk recommendation at the end of the working group, but rather to produce on a per topic basis recommendations. So that's part of the reason this material is structured the way it is. Is the structure thing okay too? Any questions?
I think the observation I'd make, Bernie, is that it's like the only way to eat an elephant is one bite at a time, and so dividing our work into bite-sized chunks makes extreme sense in my opinion.
Yeah, we in French we call it the theory of the salami. So,
Bernie,
someone seemed to enjoy
salami. Fascinating.
Yeah, Bernie, it's Nigel.
Yes, sir.
Okay, it comes out of what you just said, although it's maybe worthy of a discussion all by itself. This comment of sponsoring organization, I'm not going to go on about sponsoring organization, don't worry. But it just makes something into sharp relief. We're all used to dealing in working groups with people who native language is not English and taking account of this. But one of the things that happened in ICANN very, very early on, but perhaps I can remind the group, back in 1999, at the very first meeting of the DNSO, which I was on, we had a very comical interlude between me and somebody else over the meaning of a word, which is one of those peculiar words that means the exact opposite in American English that it does in British English. And in this working group, we have speaker of Canadian English, speaker of Australian English, speaker of British English, speaker of Namlish, and a speaker of, I've lost track of how many different variations of English there are. And one of the things, and this is relevant to sponsoring organization, one of the things that we've had problems with ICANN over the past is an inability of the organization to realize that other people whose native language appears to be the same as theirs isn't. So when we're dealing with interpretation, can we take great care that things which appear to be obvious to speakers of American English aren't necessarily so to speakers of other variants of English. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thanks, Nigel.
Nigel, actually, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's exactly the approach I'm taking.
Good. Then again, as a speaker of Canadian English, you're probably very used to dealing with that very issue.
Yeah.
Some of us would question it, whether Bernie actually speaks English, but that's a different issue.
Yes, but...
He definitely doesn't speak French.
You guys, I'll take it as... we have an expression in French, he who wits the most cares the most. So, as far as I'm concerned, you all care. All right. Any other questions before we move on to the next point? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Our next major topic is the definition of consent. That came up quite clearly as we went through the various redelegations. It became quite clear that consent was a really fuzzy thing in some cases and non-existent in other. So we will be working on that. Al had some good suggestions on that as to what actually consent should mean and how it should look like. So the second issue is consent. What does it mean? What should it look like?
Okay, can I put a marker down here?
Well, absolutely.
Okay, I'm just throwing this out because we'll revisit this and not for discussion so much now. But Al will know what I mean by Gillick competence, and I think we need to apply whether or not that principle appears anywhere in the consent discussion. Not that I'm suggesting anybody's underage, but...
Listen, I think the point is not, you know how we work, you've been around the other group, all this kind of stuff is the stuff we're looking for to make sure we come up with the best recommendations. So I think we've allocated the time and we're looking for the input as per our usual way of working.
Okay, I think we're through our first hour of what could potentially be a two-hour call, but I think if there's issues of, let's say, minor importance, perhaps the better place to raise them might be on the list between now and the next call. And could we try and make some progress and get through the document at a fairly high level at this stage? Thanks, Bernie.
Any other questions on consent? All right. These are not randomly ordered. We did spend a fair amount of time trying to figure out how they interlock. The notion of doing terminology first, although it's a very light topic in some ways, is that sort of be fun to agree on how we refer to things all the way through. So that seems to make more sense. And before we can talk about redelegations and other things, know what actually constitutes consent. And once you know what consent is, it actually be nice to know the next point, which is what is an active administrative and technical contact relating to the retirement of a CC. Oh, yes. So we need to understand, you know, what is an active and administrative contact and what does it take to be active so that your consent, as it's been defined, is actually valid. We do have some fun cases from the archives of redelegation. One of my more amusing ones is that the admin contact cannot be found, has left her position at the job, in no way can be contacted, has been gone for a number of years. Yet, because she submitted
she supported a redelegation effort 5 years ago that is considered consent for the current redelegation effort. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's stretching the limits a bit, but that's what we want to look at here. It's nice to have consent. It's nice to define what consent is, but who can give it and what is their status and how do we handle that?
As it was mentioned, given me being an obstetrician and I have some professional experience with informed consent, we'll work on that.
Excellent. Thank you, Al. So that was our third topic, valid administrative contacts. Our fourth topic, again, prepping to going into the big unconsented redelegation, is interested parties, or, as some people refer to it, local internet community, which I think is a misnomer, support for delegations and redelegations. I don't think I'm going to spend a lot of time on this one. Everyone knows that it's an issue. Several directors on the ICANN board have officially recorded that they'd like to know what it means. I think Martin had mentioned earlier, some countries are confused about what it means, and I think this is a topic that is very well suited for this group to look into and come up with some recommendations. Are there any questions on this topic?
I was in the previous working group also of the opinion it not only matters what the local internet community is, but whether the local internet community actually has an input.
I think all those things are actually open. We're looking at it. As we were talking about when we were identifying the policies that we were going to consider to build up our recommendations, we're going back to the source, and I think that's exactly the point we're doing here.
Excellent.
Any other questions on interested parties?
Yeah, just again, a marker for the future discussion. Whether or not there's a difference between what happens at delegation and redelegation.
Nigel, I'll save you the trouble. I'll put down a marker for you on every single one of them, okay?
No good putting a marker down. You've got to put down what it is.
No. I'll give you a writer on each one. You can put in what you want after. All right, so that's interested parties. Moving on, only two more. Hang in there, folks, and then we're going to in the next section. Of course, the biggie of the group is unconsented redelegations. And we've, as you will see when we get to the schedule, we've allocated a lot of time, and we'll be looking at exactly what that means. Al has published a document with touches on that. He sent it to the working group. I would invite everyone to read it, and we'll certainly be discussing it on our next call. Any questions here? Okay, I'll take silence, and we will move on. The last one, our last issue, number six, will concern, there is technically a number six, which is IANA versus the local law, which was identified. I believe that when we get to this point, if we've done all the other points in that order.
Could I interrupt? I'm sorry, Bernie. This is Suzanne. I thought I was off mute, but I was on mute.
Okay.
You have a question? Possibly, I'm sorry, it's going back to the unconsented?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And it may be a completely silly question. I wonder if the issue of, if it is unconsented and you have these, it relates back to other definitions of whether the admin contact even has any status after so many years. Is this the proper place, or is there any place in this work plan to consider something that might be construed as an appeals process. I don't think RFC 1591 has one. I know the GAAP principles doesn't really contemplate one. And so
1591 has an appeals process to the
to the
Internet Architectural Board or something, which currently doesn't seem to exist, but there is an appeals process in there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the interesting points is to answer your question in the clear, Suzanne. I think we've been very clear that we don't want to make new policy in this group. We don't want to change policy. We want to interpret what's there. And I think as long as we stick to that, we're going to be okay. And I think that does give us, with what we've got, and Lord knows I've gone through some of this stuff way too much in great detail and written on it, et cetera, I think it gives us a lot to work with and propose. So I'm not overly concerned that we will be extremely limited.
Thank you so much. And I'm sorry to have interrupted the flow. It just struck me that this might be a good time to pose that question. Thanks to you, Eberhardt, as well. I didn't know that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Bernie.
Yes. I'm trying, but this is good. This is good. Can
I quickly interrupt for 326? Can you please remove the word local in the heading?
Probably. Doesn't matter.
It matters a lot.
Okay. As I said, I think we are actually not going to have to consider this one if we do the work properly in the other sections. So this was a very light recommendation from the DRDWG anyways, but it should be addressed in the other topic. And finally, the seventh topic, I think we will only be doing six of, so this will be the last one, would be IANA reports. Of course, this may not be earth-shattering, but if we think about it, we and the world only have two sources of information about delegations and redelegations, and that's board minutes, which can be sometimes quite sparse or unclear. And the place where you're really looking to get the information is the IANA report. Now, unfortunately, over the years, in a high degree of variability, there's a lot of questions about certain things, I really think one of the lasting contributions this group can have is making sure that we produce the best IANA reports that we can so that people are getting the information that they need. I am not in any way, and I'm saying this for Kim, I'm not on a crusade to have perfect transparency on everything, and that I absolutely want the IANA report that goes to the board to be the IANA report that's posted online. This is not what this is about. However, I think there's a gap between what's there right now and the information, providing good, clear, solid information so that people can actually understand what's going on. And, one of my favorite cases is that I actually had to read over a page and a half in an IANA report to actually understand who the heck the admin contact was, because there was a whole history about who changed it, who and when and why and everything else, and it's just the narrative style of some of the IANA reports. Definitely in the past, I know they keep changing and evolving, but no one ever gets to say anything about that. I think we can contribute to that.
Bernie, Nigel.
Yes, sir.
Okay, a couple of quick points on that very topic. First of all, I think there's a difference between the IANA reports as they are published to the world, which is necessarily a summary of what's gone on, and it's a digest so that people can more easily understand, not so that it's leaving things out. That's the way I see that. But we are a working group of ICANN. We're not external to ICANN. We are ICANN. And it strikes me as mildly problematic if I get a suggestion that particularly you, as the pack horse, doesn't have all access to the source material from the IANA. And there's part of the ICANN bylaws which apply here. The ICANN bylaws say ICANN should operate with the maximum transparency possible, and that obviously have been comments made over the years that that is honoured more in the breach than the observance. So I would like to see Bernie at least get access to the entire files that are relevant to the work that we will be doing.
Thanks, Nigel. Ugo has his hand up. Ugo.
Can this heavy breather please get off the phone?
That's not a heavy breathing, that's snoring.
Oh, God. I guess we're having problems with Hugo actually talking, so... Hugo, can you get on the phone?
I think that's the hand up from earlier on.
No, it went down and it came.
Oh, did it? Okay. Well, it's star 7 to unmute, so that's about all we can do, really.
If not, carry on, Bernie.
Okay. I will take the note on local law for Eberhardt. Okay, that'll be fixed up. So, short methodology, the working group, a lot of the people who've been around know what we did in the DRDWG. It'll be quite similar here. Let's just run through it. We'll deal with the topics in a serial fashion as they've been presented here. Staff prepare documents which are commented by the working group. Once everyone is in agreement with what a document should look like and what the recommendations are, we perform a public consultation of at least 30 days on the draft recommendations. We gather the input, we address it, we work through it with the working group one more time, and from that point on, we produce a final document which gets vetted by the whole working group, and once that gets done, that is submitted to both the CCNSO Council and the GAC for their consideration. We tend to publish a progress report at least 2 weeks prior to each ICANN meeting, so the world out there knows what we're doing and where we are. And we are planning to present topic recommendations for approval. That has been changed 3 weeks prior to an ICANN meeting so that everyone can wrap their heads around it and actually discuss it when we hit the ICANN meeting. So not a lot of details here, but I think everyone gets the idea of what we're trying to do, and I'll be glad to take questions at this point. Nigel, do you want to place a marker on this one? I'll take that as a no. Okay. So, based on all of this, we've tried to come up with a schedule to try and map out what would be through this work. So, basically, prior to Singapore, June 19th, we're going to try to hold at least one teleconference. It's this one. Hopefully we'll have another one next week. obtain approval for the work plan and begin work on the terminology topic. Singapore, we will have a half-day meeting. Please note this. Half-day meeting of the FOI working group on Thursday, June 23rd, in the afternoon, to consider the work plan, if not yet approved, the terminology topic, start talking about the consent topic, and start talking about valid administrative contact topic. What we're going to try and do is get the terminology stuff wrapped up rather quickly if we can, but again, as we said, we need approval of the working try and tee up the consent and valid administrative contact topics so that we can run them in parallel. What you will see as we run through the schedule is that we'll be running a lot. We'll always be running at least one or two in parallel because once something gets into the pipe for the public consultation, basically for that topic, we're sitting on our hands and waiting for the public consultation to finish and staff gather the input and do all the rest of it. So we're trying to have a certain degree of parallelism, which makes sense, not to the level that it's going to try and do everything at the same time, but at least be sure that we don't have any dead time as we carry forward. Between Singapore and the Senegal meeting, June 24th to October 21st, 2011, a schedule of meetings for this period will be decided in Singapore. We tend to meet on Thursdays, and as Keith has explained, rotating 200 UTC, 600, and then 1400, and so on. Is there a question? We would try and publish the terminology consultation on August 5th. We would begin preparing recommendations for publication on September 2nd and publish recommendations by September 30th, 3 weeks prior to the Senegal meeting. So really the objective is that before we get to Senegal, we've wrapped up the work on the terminology stuff and we have our first recommendations that are ready to go back to the CCNSO Council and the GAC. Continue work on consent and administrative contact, prepare and publish progress report for the Senegal meeting. In Senegal, basically presentations of the terminology recommendations and the progress report. Again, a half-day meeting on the Thursday will be in the afternoon. I think we've settled on that at this point, unless we decide differently when we meet person in person in Singapore. The topics we'll be talking about face-to-face in Senegal, consent, valid administrative contact, which should be fairly well on their way to being done, one would hope. We'll begin talking about interested parties and unconsented redelegations. Between Senegal and the Latin meeting, October 28th to March 2nd, which is about 19 weeks, we will work on consent and get a public consultation out, similarly for the valid administrative contact, and we will continue the work on interested parties and unconsented redelegations, and we will prepare for the face-to-face meeting at the LAC meeting. LAC meeting should be the week of March 11th, more or less. Some of these things are to be confirmed, of course. We will be presenting consent and valid administrative contact and the progress report at the LAC meeting. We will be holding a half-day meeting on Thursday, March 15th, 2012, to consider an interested parties topic and unconsented redelegations topic. We're making sure we're focusing the schedule on giving as much time as we can, and we can end up taking more time if we need to. But we've allocated a lot of time and I believe three face-to-face meetings for the unconsented redelegation topic just to make sure that we've got the time to hash it out properly. Plan, so I'm not saying it has to be like that. I'm basing this on the experience we had with the DRDWG and you know, I've run it by Keith and Becky and others, and people seem to think that it's a little tight, but we've done this kind of stuff in the DRDWG, and we can produce some reports, some results, so we're looking forward to that. Between the LAC and the EU meeting, March 16th to June 22nd is 14 weeks. We will hopefully get interested parties done and ready and out the public consultation door, then back in for a final touch-up and get ready for publication for the EU meeting. And we will continue work on unconsented redelegation. And we will begin work on IANA reports topic. EU, week of June 24th, 2012. Presentation on interested parties' recommendations and the progress report. Half-day meeting on the Thursday, June 28th, 2012. Unconsented redelegation topic, IANA reports. Between EU and Toronto meetings, June 29th, 2012 to October 12th, 2012, 15 weeks. Get unconsented redelegations out the public consultation door, bring them back in, finish them up, and hopefully have them ready for publication in Toronto. Again, this is just schedule. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but it's good to have a plan. In Toronto, the week of October 14th, half-day meeting on the Thursday, IANA reports, and preparing the final report. You will have noticed in what we prepared as part of the charter that once we've finished everything and we've published all our recommendations, it doesn't necessarily mean that all the recommendations for Hawaii Working Group will be accepted by both the CCNSO Council and the GAC. We're hoping they will be, but maybe they won't. And this final report will be our chance to sort of look back at the results of our recommendations and how they've been taken in or addressed by the GAC and the CCNSO Council and put in some final words. And so basically, between the Toronto and AP meeting, October 19th, 2012 to April 5th, 2013, we'll be getting things wrapped up and getting ready to sort of close up things by April 2013, maybe the next meeting if things have floated over a bit. So, yes, you've signed on to the extended plan consultation group. That's if things work well, and I'll be glad to take some questions.
I think, Bernie, just making the observation that our efforts here are going to always be, as we were with the DRD working group, always dictated by getting the right output. But I think having worked through this with Bernie, I think we can make this timeline as long as we committed to getting our work done and organised bite-sized pieces and not relitigating unless there's some good purpose to doing so. So I think it's a good plan and a good time frame, and as with the DRD.
All right. That huge sigh, I guess, signals we're all the way through the proposed work plan. I've noted the few changes as we've gone through. For those that are not used as to how we work, we will publish a recap of the meeting. I don't think we call them formal minutes, but we try to include all the important stuff so that if you've missed the meeting, you know exactly what went on. And that tends to come out rather quickly so that if you have missed the meeting, you're informed quickly of what went on. There will be, and the reason we keep, they're not full minutes, is that the call is recorded, and the call recording is available via the web. So if there's ever any kind of disagreement, or if you want to catch up with something in greater detail, or if you really want to hear what happened, you can listen to the whole thing live, if you will, or on the recorded version. Documents, if we're going to ask you to consider a document on any call, we try and get it out 7 days ahead of time, and so that gives people a full week to have a look at it before we actually hit the conference call. So I'll be making some adjustments to the work plan. I don't see anything major there, or I have not heard any comments like that. But it'll be fixed up, and it'll be out the door hopefully by the end of the week, since we're scheduling a meeting for next week. So it may only be out for 7. And those are my last comments. Over to you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Benny. And just reiterating that unless that we're in some really critical point or stage in time, in general terms, my view is that we never make a decision on the basis of a single call, that we have a second call to enable people in other time zones to participate in each call. So we'll proceed with next week's call and go through this work plan again as amended in the interim, and hopefully have some finality on it at that point. Okay.
At what time will the call be next week?
It's 8 hours after this call.
0600 UTC.
Okay, so moving along, Bernie just alluded to the Singapore ICANN meeting on the Thursday at Singapore. We have a 3-hour time slot set for this working group's meeting, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. if I'm right. And I think we're doing an audio link into that, are we, Christina?
Keith, this is Suzanne. Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
Thank you. In view of the fact that Bernie might be amending the proposed work plan, should I wait until the next version comes out before I circulate it to the GAC? Because there is a CCNSO GAC meeting in Singapore.
There is? Good.
I think so. Well, that's contemplated.
Yes. I'm struggling to hear back from the GAC chair on that, Suzanne. So if you're talking to the GAC chair, could you ask her to respond to my email?
I will. She's just been at the retreat and has just returned, I guess, to the office yesterday.
I know, and she's been on leave as well, so I'm not...
Okay. Well, I'm happy to hold off, if you would prefer, if Bernie's going to edit this version of the work plan. I think another week is not going to be earth-shattering.
Yeah, generally, the way I look at our documents is that they're a non-paper until they've been through 2 iterations of meetings. So probably if you applied that same principle, Suzanne, that unless there's something that you've... I mean, feel free to share any documents that arise from the working group itself. If you think they're pertinent to your fellow GAC members, but I'd prefer that, if possible, you hold back until we've sort of agreed that that is the document.
Perfect. Perfect. That's all I needed to know. I'll hold off then until Bernie says this is what has been agreed, and probably people like myself and Patricio may not be on next week's call. If I recall, that would be midnight for us.
2 a.m.
Oh, well, then never mind. Yeah. You can guarantee that we're not going to be on that call.
Okay.
Where is your spirit of adventure, Suzanne?
Oh, Cheryl, bear with me. 2 a.m. I'm too old to be up at 2 a.m. You know, you young things, you go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. You'll get on.
That's one of the punishments of being chair, is I can't get out of my 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. call.
No,
anyway.
I know.
anyway, let's try and wrap this up. So Singapore, Thursday afternoon, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Christina, we have audio link in for that meeting, do we?
I'm sorry, I was talking to the operator. Can you repeat?
Sorry. Do we have an audio link in for the Singapore FOI working group meeting?
If we have a room?
If we have a room.
Or, sorry.
No, do we have a telephone link? Will we operate a
oh, I'm sorry. Yes, we will arrange for that.
Okay.
I will send out the details.
Okay, thanks, Christine. Okay, and so we'll see most of you in Singapore and we'll talk again next Thursday. Is there any other business before we finish?
Keith?
Yes.
We do have a room and we do have an audio link. It's all scheduled.
Oh, good. Okay. Any other business? If not, thank you all for your participation and talk again next week. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks everyone. Bye.